6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Tonight we are in our second lesson on positive parenting. Positive parenting. Tonight's message is entitled Playing with Your Children. Last time that I taught on positive parenting, we talked about the first important P in parenting, and that is praying with your children. It's important that your children know that you love the Lord. It's important that your children learn how to love Him by hearing you love Him, by hearing you pray for them. And it's so important, if you want our children to live for the Lord, that they follow our example. It's so important that we take time to pray for our children. By the way, if you do not have the notes, slip up your hand. And we'll have those brought to you. Just keep them up. They're coming your way. There are so many people who just do not take the time to do that with their children. And I was speaking recently in Hawaii, and you know that. I was in Hawaii speaking, and I taught about this idea of praying with your children after the service. About 2 days later, in the family seminar that we were teaching, a man came up to me and said, you would not know how much that impacted my son and my daughter, my children. Last night, the first night after you talked about praying for your children, I went home, I knelt down, and I prayed with each one of them individually. But the next day, my kids got up and said, Mommy, Daddy prayed with us. Is he going to pray with us tonight? And they just went on and on and on. Your children need to know that you love the Lord. Your children need to know that you walk with God, and you need to walk with the Lord. Years ago, we're still looking for some notes up here. Okay, they're coming your way. Just one minute. Years ago, when I first began to understand the importance of my relationship with my children, I got alone with the Lord and I said, Lord, more than anything in the world, I want my children to live for you. And it doesn't really matter what else happens in my life. If our children will just grow up and live for you and serve you, then we can be content. No matter what else happens, God, we just want our children to live for you. And God has... What is that whistling? I know I'm good looking, but who's whistling at me? I guess it's stopping now. There's no radiators in here. Is that upstairs? All right, so. But it's not only important that we have a spiritual walk. Is that something in here? Somebody got an earphone on? Or? That's your hearing aid. Well, stop it! You're bothering me. Okay. Got a hard time with this. The Bible teaches us that we ought not only just pray with our children, but I think it's very, very important that we play with our children, that we have a good time with our children. I believe with my whole heart that the Christian life ought to be the most exciting life that any person can have. We have the God of the universe who lives inside of us. We've got His instruction book for how to live. And the Bible teaches us we should take His word and we should apply that word and we should teach that word to our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says this in verse 1. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that ye might do them to the in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, and thy sons and thy sons' sons all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So he says, I want you to keep these commandments, and I want your children to keep these commandments. And I want you to keep them all the days of your life that you might have a long and prosperous life. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Again, God wants us to prosper. God wants us to have a good family relationship. God wants us to have good families. God wants us to have wholesome families. And so he says, here's the commandments, and I want your children to learn them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Here's the first commandment. The Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Jesus said this was the great commandment. It was the first commandment. It's the most important commandment. And all the other commandments are wrapped up in this. I want you to love the Lord thy God. And then it says, in these words which I command thee, this thing about loving God, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Note this, that he says in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently unto thy children. That is, work hard at teaching them to their children. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Father, I would ask that you teach us some things from your word tonight. Help us to take your word, help us to apply it to our lives, and help us to be the kind of parents our children will want to grow up and emulate. Help us to be the kind of parents and grandparents that know how to relate to our children, and our children will want to be with. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you ask the Lord just to teach you something tonight that will help you be the kind of parent, the kind of grandparent, the kind of a friend, the kind of older example that God wants you to be to younger children. Now, Father, I would ask that you would teach us, help us to apply this, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's obvious in this, there are several things that are obvious in this passage, but the one reason I wanted to read it to you tonight was because it is obvious in this passage, if we are going to train our children, one thing we must do is spend time with them. We have to spend quality time with our children. And quality time doesn't mean time where we just sit down and have Bible devotions, or that we're having heart-to-heart talks. Quality time means spending time of enjoyment and relaxation with your children. It means being able to take times that you are having fun with them. Now, when I talk about that, a lot of people know that my family likes to go to Disneyland, and you say, well, I just can't afford to have the kind of fun that you have. Well, we didn't always have the kind of fun you have at Disneyland because we were flat broke when we first had children, and we had to learn to have fun with our children. But I think it's very, very important that every family learns to have fun. I'm going to take time tonight to share with you some of the fun things that we did with our family growing up. I'm going to take time to share with you some activities that we had. In fact, there's a list of things, and I think it's really important, and I'm really glad that we're doing this tonight because it's the first Wednesday before summer, and summertime ought to be a great time. You say, oh, it's hot in Las Vegas. You can overcome that if you get wet a lot. You can overcome that if you're running through spring with your kids because you can't afford a swimming pool. You can overcome it. You can have a great time in the summer in Las Vegas, Nevada, if you learn how to play with your children. Oftentimes, parents, they're up, you get up, and you forget how to be a kid. Well, I've got responsibilities, and I've got things I've got to take care of. Yeah, and one of the big responsibilities you have is your children. And they need to learn from you that as a Christian, it's a great thing to just have fun together. Let me give you some very important suggestions. Number one, set specific times for your children. Set specific times for your children. Every Monday, we took Monday off. We still take Monday off. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, on Monday, after coming back from vacation, our house was filled with luggage. We've been gone in and out of town for four weeks. But it was Monday, and we had some of our kids come over. We had three of our grandchildren come over. We just had a good time. We partied. We played this new board game called Settlers of Catan, which I happen to hate because I've only won it once, and we played it about 25, 30 times, and I just really hate the game. And besides that, my family cheats, and they all come up against me. But if you do not have the notes, slip up your hand. They'll come back your way. But we set Mondays aside, and we said, my wife and I knew when we first got married that we were going to be in ministry, and we'd heard about all these parents that who were in ministry who lost their children, and I mean songs about preachers' kids and how preachers' kids led people astray and deacons' kids led people astray, and we people in ministry whose kids just went wrong. And we just didn't want that to be the case with our kids. And we felt that one of the main reasons that takes place is because parents get so involved in ministry that they don't take specific time with their children or set specific times aside for their children. So we determined that we were going to take one day a week with that was going to be dedicated to our children. Now understand this. I am a pastor 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I have decided, very early in our ministry, in fact before we actually started our ministry, that I was going to take one day a week at least and pastor and dedicate it totally to pastoring my family. You say, what does that mean, pastoring your family? That means leading them and having fun with them and enjoying them and teaching them the things about life. That's what playing with your children is all about. And so we said every Monday, in fact, every Saturday, I would spend a lot of my time as I was out visiting and out going door to door and doing the things that I do on Saturday. Saturday is one of the busiest days in the life of somebody involved in full-time ministry. On Saturday, as I was out doing those things, I'd be thinking, what can I do with my kids on Monday? What can we do with our kids on Monday? What can be done that's fun? And I would say, Lord, what can I do? Because I wanted to make sure that my children knew that on Monday I was theirs and I was theirs 100%. People would ask, hey, can we get together on Monday? I'd say, no, I have an appointment. And I did. And I still do. I have an appointment on Monday with my family and with any member of my family that wants me on Monday. I am always available for them, which makes me unavailable for anyone else. Every Monday we took time with our children. In fact, we've had throughout the ministry of our church, we've had people who have gotten upset with us because of the emphasis that we have on our family. But that's okay. My family is grown. They're living for the Lord. They love the Lord, and I'm thankful for them. It's important that you have that time set aside. Now, you may not be in the ministry, but there should be a time set apart that you know you're spending time with your family. I had one person actually criticize me to my face, said, well, I'll tell you what, if my husband has to schedule time for me, then he's not much of a husband. I don't think you're much of a family man if you have to schedule time with your family. Well, bless her pointed head. There's a lot of people who think they know a lot about life, and yet their lives are all messed up. The fact of the matter is my wife and my children know that they are important to me because I've scheduled time for them that nobody can interrupt. That's not the only time I spent with my children, but they knew that no matter what else happened, Monday was going to be theirs unless somebody in the church died. And that was the situation. Number two, we took family vacations. We set before we ever had an income coming in, we said we were going to take family vacations. We were going to take a 2-week family vacation. I remember the first 2-week vacation that we took. We had a little tiny a Datsun B210, and that was not a hot car. That was just a car, and it was your basic car. We had a little bit Datsun B210. Matthew was just a little baby, and we headed out across country, and we camped. We borrowed a tent that had no floor in it. In fact, the floor was like cobwebs, and we had it was somebody's junk that they were getting rid of, and we got old sleeping bags that were holy that we borrowed, and we used those, and we camped. check out going across country to see Grandma. I think it cost us $110 to get all the way to Grandma's and all the way back in that Datsun B210. Back there, that gas was about 80 cents a gallon. If it was that much, I can remember thinking, man, they're predicting it's going up to $1 a gallon. And I thinking, man, is that going to be bad if that happens? And it's always going to get worse. We camped out going across country. I remember one year going across country, and 76 gas stations were, by that time we had graduated to a Ford Fiesta. And there were six of us in a Ford Fiesta. That was before seatbelt laws. And we drove. You may not even know what a Ford Fiesta is. A Ford Fiesta is like a miniature Volkswagen Rabbit. It's smaller. And we had six of us that went out in that Ford Fiesta. The neat thing about that year was that 76 gas stations were giving. They were giving a free 8-ounce Coke to everyone in the car for a fill-up. So we would go in there and we would get six free Cokes at every 76 gas station and fill up, and that just got us across country, you know. So we took family vacations. You don't have to be rich. You just go and get back to your in-laws house and mooch off them for a week and have a good time. Camping out, doing inexpensive things. Whenever we could, we would, on days of the week, whenever we were home late, and normally we don't get home until about 9 o'clock at night. That's still the case for us. We don't get home till 9 o'clock at night. We'll get home this evening after services, just like you will. We'll get home this evening at 9 o'clock. We'll have our grandchildren with us tonight. So you know what we'll do? We'll sit down and we'll watch TV, with them. We'll find some television. So last night I came in and it was about 9:15, and I had told Ashlyn before we left, I said, listen, when I come home, we'll watch something together on TV, some fun movie. And I came home and I forgot all about it. And she said, oh, Grandpa, you're home. We're going to watch that movie now? I thought, I want to go to bed. I just want to go to bed. I knew I was getting up at 5 o'clock this morning, and I thought, I just want to go to bed. And I said, yeah, let's go find a half-hour movie. And so I went through all my DVDs trying to find some half-hour something that they would like to watch, and they're not interested in Leave It to Beaver, and they're not interested. These are girls. And they're not interested in anything. And finally, I found an old Christie television series that I have on DVD. And I said, oh, great. Like, it was an hour and a half, and maybe two-hour movie for the pilot episode. I was thinking 40-minute show, maybe. That's a little bit more than I want, but... and so we sat down and watched it. And Ashlyn was here, and Charlotte was here, and I'm in my recliner. Thank the Lord for recliners. And I sat there, and they watched it for an hour and a half, and I snored. But we watched TV with them. We watched movies with them. And you can do that. By the way, let me recommend this. Let me recommend a thing that we sell in our bookstore. We don't make money off of it, but it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. It's called Clear Play. You can get a Clear Play for $99, I think, or $100. Is that $100? It's $100. You can pick one up in the bookstore, and you can put a movie in there, and it cleans up, takes every bad thing out of the movie, and you can sit and watch action movies and exciting movies with your children and have a good time with them. We would pop popcorn and do that. We went to amusement parks with our children. By the way, there's another thing called a TV Guardian. The Clear Play just works on DVDs. TV Guardian cleans up... takes foul language out of anything on your television show, anything. And it's an excellent tool as well. And I just recommend it. In fact, TV Guardian, the man that invented it, I talked to him on the phone. I bought one of the first 100s that he ever marketed here in Las Vegas at an electronics show. I called him up and I said, why did you do this? He said, because I'm a Christian father and I wanted to be able to watch something exciting with my children without having to feel guilty about listening to foul foul language. You say, well, I don't feel guilty about listening to foul language. Well, you should. And let me just help you with that. It's wrong and it's wicked. You ought not do that. So he said, I invented this thing, and it works by reading the closed captioning on the DVD or on a CD or on VHS, if you still have one of those things. It doesn't work on 8-tracks, but it will. Some of you don't even know what I just said. That's so sad. It'll clean things up and you can watch it. We went to amusement parks with our children. When we drove across country, if there was something that looked fun and had some rides that would go up and down or around in circles or drop you out of the sky, we would stop at those places. We went to water parks. We spent all sorts of time with our children. By the way, you don't have to, you can go to the next couple of points, you don't have to spend a lot of money to have fun with your children. You really don't. We would go out on weekends. In fact, I'm going to give you a list of things that we did that were fun. But we would go out in the desert. I can remember when our children were very young, and again, we were still very broke. We would just find old bottles out in the desert, and we would line up bottles on hills, and then we would throw rocks at the bottles. And you say, that's not very exciting to me. Well, it's not about you. It's about your kids having fun. And when they hit one of those bottles and it smashes all over to pieces, and they're having a great time. They're thinking this is wonderful stuff. Later on, we went out shooting with our children. We'd teach them. We got guns and we got shooting. Matthew was really never into anything except balls. If it was a baseball or a football or a softball or any kind of ball, he would like it. I remember one time we were out shooting, and he got bored with us shooting, and so whenever we went out shooting, we would make a line. We would tell the kids they could not go beyond that line unless all the guns were laid down, and we would go out and check the targets afterwards. We would lay the guns down. We'd make sure that everybody was in a safe position, and then we would go and we would look at seeing what we shot. Well, we were all facing in this direction. Matthew's sort of bored with this, and so he takes off. He goes walking, and he comes back all excited because out in a dump, he found a ball. Just find things that are fun to do with your children. We would drive through the mountains. We would hike. We've hiked Mount Charleston so many times. I could tell you where different rocks are, different flowers grow. And we went to the lake. We went swimming. We used to go out to Lake Mead. There was Lake Mead. If you go out to the Lake Mead Marina and you throw just a few pieces of popcorn in, carp will come up baskets full, and they'll come up and you can get them jumping up on top of each other. And Matthew and Joshua would try to catch them, and we would all say, don't do that, and they would do it anyway. And then we would have other exciting things take place. But you can have. You can have fun doing those kind of things. Doesn't cost a thing. Cost a couple dollars to get a bag of popcorn, pop the popcorn, and then go out and do those kind of things. Going swimming at Lake Mead, it's always fun to scrape off the algae afterwards. It's just a great thing. Walking through the malls on Monday, we would go to the mall not because we had any money to buy anything, but we would pop popcorn and we'd walk up to the pet store and go to the pet store and look at the pets and look at the parakeets, act like we were going to buy a parakeet, act like we were going to buy a puppy, act like we were going to buy everything. We knew it was all just an act, but we have a great time just walking through the mall and looking at stuff. You buy a Coke, you spend maybe $4 or $5 or $10 and you've had a wonderful time just doing something with your children. It's important that you have specific time. Now, what I'm saying is this. You need to, if you're going to do those kind of things, you need to set times. You need to set and say, this is when we're going to do it. This is how we're going to do it. You need to plan events for your children. And don't let just society plan the events for you. Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, so we'll do something on Memorial Day weekend. Now, you got to do something on a weekly basis, having fun with your children. Here's a list of things, and I won't go through all of them, or maybe I will, I don't know. Go to the park. And these are things that you can do here in Las Vegas that are fun. And I would encourage you to do that. Last year, about in the middle of May, my wife and I, we're at home by ourselves, and it was Monday, and I said, "Hey, let's go." She said, "Where are we going to go?" There's an old ghost town called St. Thomas, out by Lake Mead. If you go out to Moapa, you walk down. This town was an old town. It was an old settlement. And when they filled up Lake Mead, the lake covered St. Thomas. Well, in the last 15, 20 years, the lake has receded some, I don't know how many feet, but St. Thomas is now uncovered. And you can walk down and walk through the ruins of St. Thomas. It was a cool thing to do. We just went out there and I walked through and was looking at all these places. And my wife was taking pictures of flowers. And it's just a fun thing to do. You need to determine you're going to enjoy what God has given you. We can sit in the desert during the summertime and complain about the heat, or we can just say, thank the Lord we're here. Thank the Lord for what He's given us. And by the way, during the spring and during the fall and during the winter, this place is a ball, and there's no heat. Things that you can do. Go to Floyd Lamb State Park. We went out there one time and found chicken eggs. So we took some chicken eggs home. We took the chicken eggs home and to see whether we could put them in an incubator. We made a homemade incubator. And we hatched a chicken. This was a cool event for city kids to watch this chicken get hatched. It was a poor chicken. It had to live with us. It was abused by our children, and I want to confess that publicly. The poor little chicken didn't last long, but we had a great time doing that. The kids, and it's a memory that the kids have. Go to Mount Charleston and hike. Go lizard hunting. I've told you the story of our lizard hunting. I'm a great, great lizard hunter. I don't do much. I don't do it well with deer or quail or duck. But boy, can I hunt lizards. I taught my kids how to lizard hunt. When we were out hunting for a lizard, I was telling my kids I told them exactly how to do it, how to find the lizards. And we only did this one, it was one-time event in our life, but our kids will never forget it. We drove down this old dirt trail, and out and on the middle of the trail, there was a box spring laying out there. And I said, kids, there will be a lizard under there. And my wife said, David, there will be a snake under there. I said, oh, you don't know anything. You grew up in the country with trees. This is the desert. This is my domain. And I went there, and I got the kids all around, and my wife, the only sensible one in my family, sitting there. I had Hope was about 18 months old, and I had her in my arm like this, and I grabbed the box spring like this, and I flung it back, and Charity is here, and Faith is here, and Matt and Joshua are here, and I flung that thing back, and sure enough, there was a lizard. It was a little pug lizard. It was about this long, and I said, look at it, there's a lizard. I didn't see, looking at the lizard on top of the sand, I didn't see the rattlesnake that was curled up in the blow sand to the right of the lizard. And I looked down there at the lizard, and I was going for the lizard, and Anna said, there's a snake! And about that time, that snake lifted up his head and looked right. I just took Hope and put her on the ground so I could get the lizard. So Hope is standing there about this high, and she's just looking, you know, and the snake got up, and honestly, the snake got right up in her face, and his little tongue came out, and then I realized, this is probably not a good idea. And so I grabbed Hope, but you say, well, that was terrible, but that was a wonderful memory. And our children still remember it to this day. When you go someplace, we used to go to drive out to Moapa just because it was a little country town. You can drive out there. You can drive to Moapa and you can drive down the country roads. You get behind tractors. You can see farmers baling hay. It's just a fun place to go. And then they have little old restaurants out there, little drive-ins that you can go to. We used to get little French fry things and eat French fries and drink water and just had a good time. There's ravines down that you can go down and play in. And there's an old park out there that you can have fun with. Take snacks along with you. You don't have to eat out when you go out on a little trip like that for the day. Take snacks and drinks in your car and stop for ice cream or French fries. go to the county fair, camp out in your backyard with your TV set. Now, this is an exciting event. If you want to change things, every Sunday night after church, we would go home and we would just maybe camp out in the living room. But you really want to just mix things up and have an exciting time. Some night, just go home, take your television set. It'll take you about an hour, maybe, if you're really slow like I am. And you get the television, you stick it outside, you put your sleeping bags out on your back porch, and then you spray for cockroaches, and then you just sit there and you eat popcorn and you watch a movie out on your back porch, and it didn't cost you a thing, and you're just having a good time, and your kids are thinking this is great. You get if you have a barbecue, you just take and you get some wood and you stick it in there and you have a little campfire there. You can roast marshmallows in your campfire. Just have a good time. Your kids will think it is great and they will remember it. The night that Hope was born, we were camping out. It was March 21st, and we were camping out in the backyard. And Mom was in the dining room, just sitting there watching us like a bunch of nuts. And she said, "Honey, I think we need to go to the hospital." And so we had to mess up the camp out just to go to the hospital, and Hope was born. Do those kind of things. Camp out with your kids. Hike in the desert. Throw rocks at bottles. Go shooting. Play in the snow at Mount Charleston. One of my favorite memories about Josh was that he kept hearing Matthew talk about going to the snow. He'd never been to the snow. He was about 3 years old. He said, "I want to go to the snow, Daddy. I want to go to the snow." So we were going to go to the snow. We went out. We got in the snow. He saw the white snow out there, and it was wonderful. And we got him outside, and we went, and we played in the snow, and he's having fun with it for about a minute. And then he said, "I'm cold, Daddy, I'm cold." I said, "You wanted to play in the snow?" He said, "I wanted warm snow." It's just a great memory. Anyway, I don't think he likes to go to the snow to this day. So go to the lake, go swimming, go to the mall, buy popcorn, go to the pet store, go to the plant. There's a place called Plant World. Plant World over on Charleston Boulevard has all sorts of plants that you can buy, but they also have, at least they used to, I don't know if they have it anymore, but they had all sorts of different wild or birds, like big parrots and that kind of thing, and you could walk through the place, and it's fun. And the kids think it's the greatest thing in the world. You go from one bird, try to get the bird to talk, and they don't say anything, and maybe they'll whistle, maybe they'll do something, but you just go from place to place, and you hunt for the different birds, and the kids think this is wonderful stuff. Sew or cook with your girls. Do science projects. Sew or cook with your guys. Cook with your boys and let them eat the cookies. Take picnics to the mountains. Go to Red Rock Canyon, Valley of Fire, Disneyland, movie night, bike rides in the neighborhood. Go looking at Christmas lights. Every year we would find out where the big great Christmas lights, because some people go nuts at Christmas time with putting Christmas lights on, you know. Some people like to put one string up and with a Merry Christmas sign. Other people just so are moderate, but some people really go nuts in Vegas, and you can go and you can drive just from place to place, and the kids think it's great, and get some hot chocolate and go do those kind of things. Everything that the church has, you ought to go to. I mean, every fun event the church has, you ought to go to. You ought to have your children involved in it. Let their lives find that going to church is fun and exciting and wonderful. When they have those the race car things here with Awana, be involved in that. Go to the 4th of July picnic. Go to the father-son camp out. Go to the things that the church has. And be involved in the adult Sunday school classes. Get involved and let your kids just have a good time. Take your kids on Tuesday night visitation with you. Don't leave them at home, and just pack them up and take them all with you. We have so many memories of our children on visitation on Tuesday night. We would all say, "Okay, now we're going up to the door. We're going to meet these people. And when we meet these people, you behave. You don't move. You don't go inside unless we tell you to go inside. You don't say, 'Can I have something to eat?' You don't say, 'When are we going to go home? I'm bored.' You don't do any of that. We taught them how to behave themselves and what to do. And if they went in the back room and played with their children, they needed to clean up the stuff and they needed to do all that stuff, make sure that the rooms were clean when they left. I remember one evening we were invited to a home, and the couple found out that we played Rook. And a Rook is a card game that I am excellent at. And they invited us over, and said, hey, we understand you played Rook. We know you're coming over to visit us on Tuesday to talk about church, but we'd like to play Rook. I didn't know whether they were going to see whether how good I was, whether that was going to help them join the church or not. But I said, sure, we'd love to do that. So we went over there, and they had a dessert for us, and it was just a very unusual church visit that night. And we told our kids to behave themselves, and when it was time to clean up and go and make sure they cleaned up everything. Well, they knew the routine, and so we were getting ready to go. We're getting ready to leave, and so we said, now listen, kids, we're leaving, and you need to clean up. Well, there was a little boy that didn't want to clean up, but we've given our kids specific instructions: you will clean up. And so Charity was in the back room, and Charity started cleaning and getting things all clean, and she would get them just about the way it's supposed to be, and the boy would go up and knock things off the thing. So we're hearing a little bit of a commotion back there. And I said, Charity, come out here. And she just come out. I said, what's wrong? She said, well, I'm trying to clean up. And I said, well, just go back there and clean it up. And so she left and she went back there. Well, I didn't know what was going on, but every time she would take something and put it up on the shelf, he would knock it off the shelf. And so she could not obey me. And she had to determine what to do about that whole situation. Pretty soon I hear, and this little boy comes running out saying, she punched me! She punched me! This is a real good church visit, and we're really trying to encourage these people to join the church and let them know that we really love them and care about them. And so Charity, I said, what happened? She said, I said, what happened? I'm thinking, my daughter didn't punch this boy. I said, what happened? She came out and said, I punched him. So, oh, I'm so sorry. This normally doesn't happen. She doesn't know that. I'm sorry. You know. So we got outside. We found out what happened. And she said, you said to put things away. And every time I went to put things away, he would knock things down. And I knew I was going to get in trouble for not putting things away. And so I put them up. And then I told him, don't you put it down again or I'll punch you. And he put it back up and I punched him. And I said, good girl. Take your children with you and let them enjoy ministry, spend time with them. There's a list of other things. We have this past Sunday, my children, I didn't know they were going to do this. We came in, just got in Saturday night. And so Sunday afternoon, Matt said, Dad, we're getting ready to leave. I want to take you out for lunch. I said, oh, great. You know, well, good. We'll go out for lunch. I thought, oh, he's just doing something nice because we were out of town during our 35th anniversary. And so he was going to do something nice for us. And I thought, that's nice. So I thought we'd go out to eat with him. And so I thought it'd be a normal place, you know, like, you know, across the street, maybe Chili's or something. And he said, I said, where do you want to go? He said, I got some free tickets. Or I got some discount tickets for Maggiano's. I said, Maggiano's? Man, who goes to Maggiano's Sunday afternoon for dinner? And he said, well, I got these tickets, and let's just do it. You know, they'll be gone when I'm gone because I'm going. He's going to go on vacation. I said, oh, okay. So we drove over there and walked into a back room, and there my entire family was there singing happy anniversary to us, and they had this private Tice family 35th anniversary, and they did some wacko skits and read some poems, and then they all, my five kids, got up and they sang the Tice family song. Years ago, I made up this song when Matthew was first born. I got a guitar and I play a guitar. I know three chords, and so I got a song that I wrote. It goes, I like my Matthew Paul Tice. I think that he's very nice. I like him fine because he's one of a kind. He's my little Matthew Paul Tice. I like my Joshua David. He is the one that I play with. I like him fine because he's one of a kind. He's my little Joshua David. Then we got a girl. I like my Charity Joy. She is a girl, she's sure not a boy. I like her fine because she's one of a kind. She's my little Charity Joy. Then I got baby Faith. I like my baby Faye. She really knows how to make my day. I like her fine because she's one of a kind. She's my little baby Faye. Then I have Hope Joanna. I like my Hopey Joanna. What rhymes with Joanna? She liked to eat the banana. I like her fine because she's one of a kind. She's my little hopey Joanna. So we got in there. Now, I made up this dumb song, all right? Never thought I'd be singing it publicly. But we sang a song. And I've got one for Anna, but I won't sing it. And so I got in there and they sang this whole, they took that rhyme and they made up a whole song, and it was just fun. And it just is neat to know that you've made an impact in their life because you spent time doing stupid, fun things, riding go-karts and going to Hoover Dam and going to Bonnie Springs Ranch and making slip and slides. You don't have to be rich to get a big thing of plastic, and you don't have to go to Whammo and get one they made. You can just go buy a piece of plastic and run water on it and slip and slide all over your backyard and ruin your grass, and your kids will think it's wonderful. Going home after church and making stromboli. Stromboli is the most fattening, calorie-filled stuff in the world, but your kids will love it. You just take a pizza dough and you frozen pizza dough and you let it sit out while you're at church, and then you roll the stuff out and you put in salami and you put in bologna and you put in cheese and you put in tomato sauce and you put in anything else you want to kill yourself with. Then you wrap that thing over. You wrap it. It's sort of an inverted pizza, and you put that thing over itself, and then you put a butter and I think like egg stuff over that, and then you stick it in the oven and it bakes, and everybody's doing it all together. Put this in mind and put this in mind and put this in mind, and they're having fun, and it's all stuff that's in your house, you know, and it's just stuff that you're doing with them. And I would just encourage you to go through the list. I would encourage you this summer, when there's a free night, don't think about who you can have over. Think about what you can do with your children. Let me back up and say it this way. If you're going to have someone over, have someone that's going to come over and enjoy your children. Years ago, people ask me now, why do you go out of town at Christmas time? This is why. When our church first started, people, nice, wonderful, loving people in our church, would come and say, hey, we'd like to stop by and bring you something on Christmas. Well, that was wonderful. We want to be nice. We want to love people. But I found myself on Christmas Day spending time with one church family after another church family, another church family, another church family. And I just bought my kids some G.I. Joes, and they wanted to play with me, play G.I. Joes. And I couldn't spend time. I was saying, you go away. And it was Christmas. And I thought, you know what? I need to spend time with my kids on Christmas. And we just need to be unavailable at Christmas to spend time with them and do things with them. What I'm saying is this: it's important that your children know that you care about them and that you're playing with them and that you play with them. It's so important. I was driving down the road. We were up in Montana. In fact, we may have been North Dakota. We were heading towards Mount Rushmore. We were driving on Interstate 90 up north. Is that North Dakota? Anyway, it is. Okay, so we were driving towards Mount Rushmore. I'm listening to a gentleman preach a series of messages called Biblical Leadership. And his name was Howard Hendricks. And he told this story. He said, I've been traveling and doing ministry, traveling ministry for some time. He said, several months ago, or maybe he said several years ago, he said, I was in a pastor's home. And the pastor had left to go to church to do something. And one of the pastor's children came into the den where I was studying. And he said, Mr. Hendricks? And I said, yes. He said, Mr. Hendricks, would you play horsey with me? And Howard Hendricks said, sure, I'll play horsey with you. Mr. Hendricks is Howard Hendricks. He is Dr. Hendricks, actually. He was a senior professor, a very well-known scholar from Dallas Theological Seminary. He said, would you play horsey with me? He said, sure, I'll play horsey with you. And he got down from behind his desk, got down on his knees, and he was playing horsey with a little boy and having a good time and running around the den and playing with him and just having fun. Pretty soon, it was time to get ready to go to church. And he said, thank you, Mr. Hendricks, for playing with me. He said, my daddy doesn't have time to play with me. He's busy playing with other people's kids.
And when I heard that, it just broke my heart. I was driving down the road and I thought, man. And every time I hear something like that, I don't know about you, but I'm convicted about being a lousy father. And I thought, boy. I stopped the car, pulled over. I said, honey, that was back before they had seatbelt laws and we were driving a van. And I said, we had gone past the Ford Fiesta at that point. And I said, honey, would you drive for a little while? And I just got in the back of the van. We had a playpen set up and I got back in the back and I just played with my children and had a good time. We pretended we were in a soda shop and we were making ice cream, and because Joshua can't ever had ice cream, so we had pretend ice cream and we played and we had a good time. You can have a lot of fun with a lot of pretend ice cream. In fact, it doesn't cost you anything, and you can have every flavor in the shop. And so we had blueberry and we had chocolate chip and we had chocolate mint chip and we had chocolate and vanilla, and we decided what was best and we had a good time. I just at that moment I can remember specifically thinking, I need to always be available to play with my children, and so do you. It's important. Now, let's go to point number two. That was point number one. Point number two, identify specific needs for each of your children. From toddlers to teenagers, identify the specific needs of my kids. From time to time, parents will say to me that they're afraid they failed as parents because they have to tell their children something over and over and over again. I've told my children this, and I tried to tell them, and they just never seem to get what I'm saying. I think I'm a failure as a parent. Look, you're not a failure as a parent until until you give up. When you give up, then you're a failure as a parent. How many times does God have to tell you the same thing before you really catch it? I mean, God's told you the same thing over and over. You ought to read your Bible every single day. You ought to pray every day. You ought to put me first. Do you ever mess up on those things? I think we all do. And so God's patient with us. Let me give you a couple of very important points. Number one, training a child is a 20-year process. It's a 20-year process. You're a child in God's mind until you're 20 years old. Pastor Matt taught about this on a Sunday night when I was in Hawaii, so I'm not going to go into this in detail. But I want you to see that here's some scriptural evidence to back that up. Israelites were not required to bring an offering until they were 20 years old. They were not required to bring an offering until they were 20 years old. Israelites, number three, were not able to go to war until they were 20 years old. They weren't allowed to go to war until they were 20 years old. Numbers 1 and verse 3 says, from 20 years old and upwards, all that are able to go forth to war. Don't get discouraged because it takes a long time to train your children. God gave them to you for 20 years. And don't think your children are grown because they're teenagers. Don't think they should know it all because they're teenagers. It takes a long time. God says in Isaiah 28 and verses 9 and 10 that we learn through repetition. We learn through repetition. We learn line upon line, here a little and there a little. Some children pick up concepts faster than others. Man, I remember with some of my children thinking, why can't you just grab this? I can remember one of my children saying to the other, why don't you just obey? Why don't you just obey? One of my kids looked at me and I said, did you do that? And she looked at me and she said, Father, I'm the good child. Some children pick up concepts quicker than others. Some children learn in a different manner. Some children learn in a different manner. Some children you can look at and say no, and all of a sudden, I mean, the tears are flowing. Others, you can just do anything to them, and the strong will is just there. Some children are more compliant by nature, and some are strong-willed. That doesn't mean you're a bad parent because you've got a strong-willed child. I really believe with my whole heart that God gave us Joshua because I got a little arrogant thinking, man, this raising children stuff is easy. You'd say to Matthew, do it. He'd say, yes, sir, go do it. Say to Matthew, do it. He'd do it. Say to Matthew, do it. He'd do it. Say to Joshua, do it. He'd say, why? What? Why can't he? They're different. I thank the Lord for both of them. And I know that God put their different temperaments within both of them. In fact, in all five of our children, because they had different challenges that they were going to face in life. And I was to be used by God, and my wife is to be used by God to mold them, to use the character God gave them and the temperament God gave them for His glory. Some children are more compliant, others are more strong-willed. The key is to keep on training them until they're grown, the age of 20. And I say that to say this. 5, enjoy each stage of your child's life. Don't endure it. Don't just endure it. Children are made to to be enjoyed, not just endured. Boy, I can't wait to get through this. No, there'll be a time that you're going to think, boy, I remember that. Oh, I would just love to be able to be back there. I can remember not too long after Joshua got married. He'd been married for 2 or 3 years. And I can remember having a dream. And Joshua was 8 years old. And Joshua ran up to me, and I was hugging him, and I'd say, hey, I missed you. And I was just hugging him and just having a good time with him, because with all the trouble he got into, he was just an energetic. He loved you. He loved life. And I was holding him and hugging him and loving him. And then I woke up. And that little 8-year-old guy I missed. I'm so glad that for grandchildren, it's a wonderful thing to have grandchildren. Because you get to hold your children again and hug them again. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The truth is, you need to enjoy those stages. Don't think, man, I can't wait till this is over. Enjoy them. Don't just endure it. The Bible says in Psalm 113 and verse 9, He maketh barren women to keep house and to be joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord for them. Determine that training your children takes spending much time with them. And that's where we started this evening in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. And it's listed there in your notes. But I want you to see towards the end of that that it says, and thou shalt teach them. Thou shalt teach them. And it says to do it diligently. Teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The idea is teach them diligently. Teach them diligently. To teach them diligently means very simply to work hard at it. I'm going to work hard at teaching my children. Parenting is not for wimps. Parenting is not for wimps. It's not something that I can do this, no problems. It is a day by day, step by step determination to do what is right. Talk to them. Talk to your children about what you believe. He says, sit thee when you're sitting with them in your house. When you walk with them by the way, be with them in the evening, be with them in the morning, all the time. You're with your children. You're spending time talking with them. You're spending time walking with them. You're spending time pouring your life into them. So from the time they're toddlers to the time they're adults, You are doing all that, and you're playing with your children. Let me give you, I don't think I'm going to get through this. In fact, I know I can't get through this. Let me get to B, though, quickly. Let's just talk about 0 to 2-year-olds, and let me give you some things very quickly. As soon as your child is born, make eye contact with them. Physically, love him or her. I've done that with my grandchildren. As soon as I possibly could get my hands on my grandchildren, I looked at them in their eyes and let them look at me, and because I wanted them to get just a glimpse of this. And I want to bond with my grandchildren. I want them to know that I love them. I wanted that with my children. As soon as I could, I was there when they were born, and I was holding them, and you need to do that as a father, as physically as you can. When you're alone with your baby, give them the gospel. As soon as my children were born, every one of them, I looked at them and I would say to them, I just want you to know, everybody's calling you an angel, but I know you're a sinner. And I know because you're a sinner, you won't deserve to go to heaven. You deserve to go to hell. That's a terrible thing to say to a little baby, isn't it? Sweet little innocent thing. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ loves you and He came to this earth and He suffered and He died to pay the penalty of your sin. He paid for your sin and He paid for my sin. The Bible says when you're old enough to understand, if you just call on Jesus and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior and God, you can go to heaven because He died in your place. He paid for your sin. He was buried. He rose from the dead for you. I looked at each one of my children and I said that to them. And I said it to them over and over again because I wanted them to hear the gospel. Keep the baby with you in your room in a bassinet for at least 3 months. Keep them there for their protection and their watch care. No matter what anybody says to you, you're going to spoil that child. You're going to ruin that child. You need to learn to teach that child to eat at certain hours and certain times. He's an American. She's an American. We eat whenever we want. Just let them be Americans. The fact of the matter is, you're not going to ruin your child. You're not going to ruin your child by allowing your child to eat when that child needs to eat. And that child needs your love. If that baby's crying for your love, the first 3 months of that child's life, first 6 months of that child's life, you're not going to ruin a child by loving that child up. We had people tell us all the time, every time that child wants you, you're just right there. You're going to ruin that child. You're going to spoil that child. Then later on, they said, you're abusing that child. The fact of the matter is, you just need to love that child. So rock your children to sleep. Sing to them things like Jesus loves you. And then sing to them things like Winnie the Pooh. I used to sing to Matthew all the time, particularly because we had a record. With Winnie the Pooh, a record that's a big, huge CD. It sits on a record player. And we had the record, the Disney record of Winnie the Pooh. And I used to sing to him, deep in the 100-acre wood, where Christopher Robin plays, you'll find the enchanted neighborhood of Christopher's childhood days. A donkey named Eeyore is his friend. There's Kanga and Little Roo. There's Rabbit, there's Eeyore, and there's Owl. But most of all, Winnie the Pooh. And he would say, Pooh. Winnie the Pooh. And those are wonderful days. And you need to do that. We did that with Joshua and Charity and Faith and Hope. We got pictures of Hope going, our Faith going. It's so fun to watch Joanna do the same thing. Now, have them in church at an early age. Sit in the back of the auditorium and let them get used to the preacher's voice. If there's nothing wrong with, and don't let somebody look at you and say, oh, you should not have your children in the auditorium. You can have your children in the auditorium if you want. It's polite if they start fussing to take them out and go into the nursing mother's room or stand in the foyer and watch. It's polite to people that are around you, but it's a good thing to have your children in church. I grew up sitting in a pew in a church. There's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing bad about wanting your children with you. Sit with them in church. Hold them and love them. Don't let anyone make you feel bad about always holding your child. Spend as much time as possible holding your child, talking to your baby, and looking in your baby's eyes. Moses' mom only had him in his early years, and yet she made a major impact in his life. When you're feeding your baby, hold the baby. Make sure that you take your child with you when you go. And if you're going to minister someplace, go take your child with you. When they're infants, keep them with you. I'm out of time. I would take you through the 3 and 4 year olds and the 5 and 6 year olds and the teen years, but we just don't have time. So let's close and we'll talk about this next week. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the privilege of parenting. And I pray, Father, as we're going through this series on positive parenting, God, that it'll be a help to young parents, to grandparents, to parents of all ages. And Father, for those who are going to be parents in the future, I pray that they'll remember the things that are taught here. And Father, it'll be a benefit. Thank you for the privilege of being able to teach your word. Help us to apply your word to our lives. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask a couple of questions.